listening to the Best of the Patriots. A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
So a lot of ways to get in touch as we start off the new year, and the job security of one Jerod Mayo. I mean, we've talked about it now for weeks and weeks, months and months. If you're asking me what's most likely, he's going to survive this year, but barely, because that Chargers game
oh my God.
Was such a disaster. You got the fire Mayo chance at the game.
Yikes.
You got players second-guessing him. You got May, killed in that game. You left him in there.
Put him back in.
You had the whole Ramondre Stevenson debacle. Like, really everything that could have gone wrong in that game, never mind the final outcome, went wrong. He is right back squarely on the hot seat, and it's as hot as it's ever been.
He needed a 15-game season where you end on the high note of a close loss to the Bills.
The
That's
extra
what
game.
You needed. Had they lost to the Bills,
yeah,
24-21. It just walked away from that. Josh Allen didn't have a great game. You didn't embarrass yourself at all. In fact, it was way more competitive than most of us would have even imagined. If you ended it there, yes, three wins is low, Jones, but you at least could have said, hey, that's not bad. Played close there. And then he really didn't say anything in the post game to which he would have to walk back the next day.
No, it was his best showing from a PR standpoint was that Buffalo game.
It was like he had like a zapper on him. And anytime he was like about to do something, he was like, no, it is what it is. Good game. The next week comes out and it's the worst. They outdid themselves. And to me, across the board, it was the ultimate kick in the Johnson type of game.
Mm-hmm.
For one, we'll focus on Mayo for now, but real quick, Elliott Wolf, his first big draft day decision, Drake May, yeah, you take him. That's obvious. The next one was trade out of 34.
Mm-hmm.
You need a receiver. Trade out of 34. You get Polk and Baker have done nothing all year, and the Chargers take Ladd McConkey, who has more receiving yards in that game than Polk and Baker have had all season.
It's unbelievable.
Ladd McConkey is a 1,000-yard receiver. He's like Justin Herbert's number one guy. And you didn't have to trade up to get him. You just didn't have to trade down. And you could have had Ladd McConkey. That's aside. That's sort of on Elliott Wolf.
Okay, but just to flesh that out for a minute, because it's all relative. You were in a sea of receivers again. A sea of receivers again. And you traded out of the actual pick. Yeah. Score one for the Wolfpack on this one. It was the actual pick. You missed out on the best one. Ladd McConkey was your actual pick.
Ladd McConkey.
You were on the clock. You could have taken him. Yeah. You said, no.
Don't want him.
We don't like him. Jalen Polk is the answer. Let's get some extra assets.
Drake meme.
Which turned into Javon Baker.
Yes, Jalen Polk.
And they both
suck. Yeah, you got Baker. Don't even use Baker.
Okay, but again, a sea of wide receivers. Xavier Worthy, who's come on. Ricky Pearsall, who looked great.
Ricky
the
Pearsall,
other night on Monday Night Football.
Jones, Ricky Pearsall, for those that don't remember, got shot with a gun before the season began.
I don't mean to laugh at that.
No, but I'm saying, like for real, he got shot with a gun and had more receiving yards this week than Polk and Baker have had to combine all season.
In one game.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
One game. He was shot earlier in the year.
Xavier Leggett, who if nothing else is amusing, based on his accent, sure. His hunting, what he eats.
Eats squirrel.
Keon Coleman at 33. Like, all these guys can play.
Keon Coleman looking good.
You got, again, the one guy in a sea of receivers right there. You could have had any. You could have moved up for him, moved back for him. You could have taken anyone. You got the one guy who blows.
I think it was a tip of the cap to Belichick. I think Belichick was here for 20 years, not drafting receivers. Elliott Wolf said, you know what? My first year, I'm also going to take a giant miss.
Yeah.
And if we just watched Ladd McConkey from afar, we would have felt this way. But then seeing it at Foxborough, just go up and down the field. Like, this guy's always open. He's scoring touchdowns. That was a hard go. Now flip it back to Mayo for a second. One of the things we said leading up to the game was people around here don't think Justin Herbert's that good because every time he's played the Patriots, he has been horrible. He plays his worst game every season against the Patriots. Not this time.
No.
Not this time. That New England team, now there's been good and bad teams, really bad teams even, that have stifled Justin Herbert over the last few years. Because let's face it, Herbert's rookie year was what, 2020?
I think that's right, yeah.
So there's only been one good Patriots team in his whole time. and that was 2021. But he lit him up. He had the best game ever. He hadn't scored. I think he scored 30 combined points in three games against New England.
Okay.
They scored 40 on Saturday.
For instance, last year, yeah, and basically he did all his work in three quarters.
Right.
Last season, the Patriots were terrible. The Patriots beat him 6-0 last year.
6-0.
He didn't score.
No.
So Bill owned, say what you want about Belichick, and Bill owned, you know, Josh Allen for a long time, and that turned.
Always rookie quarterbacks and young quarterbacks, but even like one of the good quarterbacks that he just torched was Justin Herbert.
Bill owned Peyton Manning for a while, and it turned.
Yep.
But like Justin Herbert, he owned. And Jerod Mayo gets his first crack at Justin Herbert.
Pants.
281, three touchdowns in three quarters.
Oh, like effortless. No, it was. It was effortless. It's like he just went out there and do whatever he wanted.
It's unbelievable.
That was. We've had to update this power ranking throughout the year. That was the worst performance of the season.
Easily.
Like the way they played and then the decision making. You had mentioned the Ramondre Stevenson thing. Hilarious. So Ramondre fumbles. Like one of the down parts about the Bills game was Ramondre fumbles. You're like, oh, God, here we go again. What are they going to do? So then he tells, Zoe that we're going to start Gibson.
Yep.
And then the game starts and there's Ramondre Stevenson. And then he asked about it after the game. He says, coach's decision. Which coach?
Yeah, seriously.
You?
Who's somebody
call
else? Was that?
Like, was it your call to bench him or was it your call to not bench
it's
him?
Just so
or did you just change your mind, like, which is probably more likely?
Does it really matter at the end of the day? No, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, but it's just such an unforced error and more evidence that it's such a clown show.
It's classic Mayo, though.
It's like, we're starting Gibson. You come out, Stevenson's on
the
field.
Looks like Ramondre.
After the game, he goes, coach's decision. It's like, what? Why'd you even say that? You didn't have to say that.
And then they ask Gibson about it.
He's like, I didn't hear a thing.
I didn't talk to me all week.
It's like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's so crazy. And so does it really matter who you started? No.
Obviously not.
Why'd you even tell the flagship radio station before the game? Hey, who are you starting this week? I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out when we get out there. Like, say that.
TBD.
Don't say we're starting Gibson and then start Stevenson. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
So
he's falling apart. I think like you know, like a lot of rookies hit that rookie wall.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's too many games. I wonder if that's the case with Mayo. It's like he's hitting the coaching rookie wall. So rather than improving as the season goes on, you're just out of gas. You're like, you're on empty right now, and you're like, I don't get any more coaching in me.
No.
I can't make any more decisions. I can't do any more press conferences.
So you can interact with the show. You can weigh in on Jerod Mayo, his job security. We're going to get to how the Patriots should approach this week with Drake May and with attempting to win or lose the game. I can't imagine anybody wants him to win the game.
I haven't heard any people say that.
But feel free and weigh in on that. What we'll do with the number one pick should the Patriots get it. We'll get to all of that. Again, it's 617-779-7937. I did miss the text line. It's the same number. Guys, I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas. Jones still has a job.
Well, there's always next year.
Also, welcome back, guys. Yeah, just hang around long enough. Also, welcome back, guys. Any of you lucky enough to get the reverse Paul Brown for Christmas? I did not.
It was left under the tree, as it was?
I did not. It was on my,
I thank you to stay out of my personal affairs.
It was on my my list.
Yep.
Santa did not bring that
That's
this
all
year,
right.
Unfortunately. So again, you can interact here. I want to read from Tommy Curran.
All right. Friend of the show.
One of many who I feel like are making it pretty clear it is dire for Jerod Mayo. I was reading Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler today. Mm-hmm. Tons of, and they all say the same thing. It's most likely Mayo's back, but if he isn't, keep an eye on Vrabel. If he isn't, could Ben Johnson be interested in the Patriots job? Like all this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Here's what Curran wrote. He said this final four-game post-bye stretch for the Patriots was critical. Even though they were 3-10 heading into Arizona on December 14th, it was imperative they show this foundation-laying year that they'd actually, you know, laid a foundation. Now, three games later, and with the new year upon us, it's obvious the franchise is still a giant friggin' crater with ooze of mud at the bottom. The only sign of stability, the only pillar, is the quarterback.
Yeah.
The Crafts, who decided a year ago they weren't down with Bill Belichick doing a second reset after his 2021 free agent spending bonanza went kablooey, now must decide if Elliot Wolf, Jerod Mayo, and all the people around them can identify talent, hire it, develop it, and then win games because they use it correctly. Nothing they do inspires even a passing flutter of confidence, and that goes for ownership too. He says the Crafts are very clearly out of practice on how to run the football side of their franchise. He says that reality flies in the face of the widely held notion they're puppet masters, but it's the truth. So he's letting them off the hook to a degree. It's like, oh, we haven't done this for a while. We kind of forgot. Bill did so much.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. He says the time to decide a path and articulate it, not some ambiguous, we're trying to get better flim-flam has arrived, and what's it going to be? So the ball is in their court. Mayo's hot seat is on absolute fire, and it doesn't help, Nick, that Keon White going into the game is like, we got to make changes, we got to do this, we got to do that. Jerod Mayo's asked about it after the game. Oh, Keon didn't mean this. That's not what he meant. Just to get it straight, here's what Keon White said after he made the initial comments.
Yes, let's hear this.
Mayo tried to clear it up. Mm. Keon White doubled down after the game on Saturday.
Major changes are coming.
I mean, yeah, I hope so. If changes aren't made, then what are we doing? Again, the NFL is a production-based business, so if we're not doing anything to change our production, which is lost, why are we? What are we doing?
Well, what changes are you hoping
for? Let's take two more here.
again, it's not for me to decide. First and foremost, I'm changing me, changing how I play the game.
I do like that. PR guys, two more.
I'm at last one.
I don't like where this is going, guys. Two more.
Thank you for your time. Happy New Year.
Okay, but not only has Mayo lost the fan base, where they're chanting "Fire Mayo" during the game, Fire Vrabel.
Oh no, fan base is way out.
Fan base is so out. Yeah. Andy Hart did a poll question while we were out. It was like 91% of the fan base was like fire. 2,000 votes. Like it's not even close. Mm-hmm. It is awful. So the fan base has turned.
Mm-hmm.
What happened while we were out, Keith, is the locker room, and you saw it during the game. The team quit on Mayo, but then you get guys like Keon White popping off after the game as well, getting a chance to walk it back and saying, no, I stand by that. Changes need to be made.
So that's going to be, if he gets got, it's going to be because of that. Because Robert Kraft, I think, obviously is going to be sensitive to what the fans are saying, but you can't just make every single move based on what the fans are saying. But I think he's going to take that into account. I think Robert Kraft is, and empty seats and things like that, and the record and where this thing is going. But if the players like them and you just need to get better players, like, okay, then if you're Robert Kraft, can't you put a little bit more push onto Elliot Wolf? One of your better players probably is Keon White. He's probably a top 5-10 player on the team.
Yeah,
right. Like, we always stop after Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, and that's fine that you really have two players, but if you're actually making your list, he's not that far down it. And if he's saying that, like, that he's not giving you the politically correct, the answers are here, we just got to be better, which we know it would be lying, but it's also like that's like saying next question. Yeah. That's sort of like the safest,
it's
little,
the
like,
easiest
okay
thing to get the media off your back and just get out of
we
there.
We all got to be better.
Yeah.
Great. Like, you know, but that's how you do it. Like, a lot of bad teams have said that for years. Coaches have said that. Players have said that, and you move on. But of course, changes need to be made is a lot different.
I can go to the next question.
Well, think about that. Like, you also can't get rid of, as much as a lot of people would want to, you can't really get rid of 50 guys. Like, you're going to get rid of a bunch, I think.
I wanted them to last year. They brought them all back.
Well, that's true. That was on them.
Yeah.
But the coaches, I mean, that is a finger pointed at the head coach. So if the fans and the players don't like you, if you're Robert Kraft, you're like, wait, why am I keeping this guy again? Just because I went out on a limb and said that I liked him, I mean, guess. But
Keith, if he stays, if he survives, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only reason. What else would you latch onto? The players don't want him here.
But that's
the players.
No, you're right.
You
no, I know.
On Saturday, they don't want him here. Keon White just told you that
to change Kraft's mind.
I don't know. Yeah. I like, if I'm wagering on it, I would wager he's back. But I mean, 60-40.
You got one more home game, by the way, coming up.
Yeah, it's gonna be ugly.
And who knows? Yeah, who knows? And also, most people, smart people, don't want you to win. So what if you do something? So either you suck and everyone's laughing and booing at you for sucking.
Right.
Or you actually score a touchdown and you're winning and you're like, what are you doing? You're going to cough up the number one pick.
Yeah, what's more likely to get him fired? Losing the game or winning the game? Jerod Mayo.
Ask Lovie Smith a couple years ago. He won the game, cost them the number one pick, got fired. No, I mean, it's comically a lose-lose scenario for him. It really is. Like, we're going to be pissed no matter. Or I'll be more pissed if they win, obviously. More pissed if they win.
We said very consistently all year, for the first, like, three and a half months, I don't want them to tank.
Yeah.
But now you're here. And now it's what I you suck.
Yeah.
Would I rather have the first or the fourth pick? I'd rather have the first pick.
It's a weird. It's
so,
a
like,
fine
lose
line.
The game.
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
I know.
But it's, like, going to be hard for him. If anybody can screw it up, it's this guy.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be that hard. Lose the game.
But does he tell Drake May he's starting and then he's not starting? And, like, all this other stuff. Like, does he step in it along the way? And, like,
sure.
You know, how does it look and all of that stuff? But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't – the season can't come to an end soon enough for Mayo. But then you wonder, all right, on Monday, we're just, what, 5 days away from 7 coaches being fired in the NFL, 8 coaches being fired, something like that. And his name is definitely right there in the mix with them.
Yeah, Graziano listed 9 today, and the Patriots were 1 of the 9.
Okay.
So, like, he is far from safe, and that got much, much worse for him over the break. Do you think he'll survive? Like I just said, I think the most likely scenario is he's back. Maybe 60-40, he's back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel super strong that he's back. I would not bring him back. But the only reason that he would return isn't because the players want him. It isn't because he's a good coach. It isn't because you've seen anything out of what he's done. It's not because of how he handles press conferences. It would be purely because Robert Kraft's pride. That's it. That's the only reason he'd be back.
Yeah, I was always of the mindset that he's definitely going to survive. They would get rid of both coordinators and Elliott Wolf before Jerod Mayo just because it'd be such a walk back from Robert Kraft. However, I still think, yes, if I had to pick one or the other, he's
if
back.
You're picking, he's back.
He's back. But I think the way the fans have reacted, the way the players have reacted, and the fact that Mike Vrabel is available and is telling people he wants the job, not my first pick.
Me neither.
But I do think Robert Kraft would view that as a safe pick, a guy that he has a relationship with, a guy that he feels like most of the fan base would support. It would be a popular decision right away.
Look, even I would talk myself. It's not my first pick, but no. Even I would talk myself
That's
into
what I'm
it.
Saying.
Mayo or Vrabel? Vrabel, easy.
Because I think the fear would be, and another reason to keep a bad coach, I think, around the league is like, all right, well, who are we going to get?
Right.
Right. Like, all right, it's easy to fire that guy, but then where are we gonna turn to? And if Vrabel was just coaching in Tennessee still and never got fired, and you're looking at the current crop of head coaching candidates, and it was like, all right, we can try to convince Ben Johnson. But he has his, you know, he's going to ask for $20 million or whatever. And, like, you know, and where else do we turn? And do we replace Mayo with a guy that's even worse rather than, like, seeing if he can improve in year two? But if you have an established guy like Vrabel, who the Crafts obviously love, that might also kind of be the death blow for Mayo.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Jerod Mayo is joining us
yeah,
right
come
now.
Come on in.
So
we're just
Jerod,
talking about
in.
TV shows of 2024.
Yeah.
I'm on the Jackal.
The Day of the Jackal.
Yeah.
That's the thing with TV now, as Jerod Mayo sits down and joins us right here, is that, like, you never even know what these shows are because there's 20 on at any given
there's
time.
There's a million different
streaming
services.
All right. Well, Jerod Mayo is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, by Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Jerod, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Happy holidays. And I guess the place that I would love to start with you today is where you left off on yesterday's game, or Saturday's game, rather. You said when you came out of that game, not a whole lot of positives that you could take away from the film. I know when you just met with the media, you said, well, Cole Strange at center seemed to be a place that you could build from. Did you find any other silver linings in that performance?
Look, you know, when watching it, effort wasn't the problem. It was just execution across the board. And look, it all starts with me, and I'm okay saying that, and we just have to be better.
When you talk about effort, there was, I think it was Daniel Akunye.
Akwale.
Akwale.
Come on.
I told you I'm horrible with last names, right?
If it's Wiggy, like, Wiggy came in from his vacation.
If it's not like James Johnson or Jefferson, I tend to kind of butcher them a little bit. But he had said that he felt like there were some guys that he might have saw some quitting players. Do you feel like you saw that in any part of the game from watching the film afterwards?
I mean, look, there are a couple field goal blocks that, you know, guys didn't get their hands up. But besides that, I felt like the effort was good. You know, and it's hard. Look, it is hard. Like, you used to be a player. It's mm-hmm. hard when, you know, the score kind of gets out of control like that to keep pushing on. And I would say the majority, most of, if not all, of the guys were still going out there trying to make a play.
When we talked to you early in the season, I think one thing, you know, it's always about having confidence as a former player, now turned coach. We all have that confidence. You were confident that you guys would be able to win more games than you were last year. If you could, now that you've been able to see pretty much the whole season except for one more game left, what would you do differently that could affect that outcome in your mind?
You know, for me, like, look, my confidence is still high, and I feel like I'm, look, we're on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a journey, and that's, I mean, that's part of it. And so you're going to have to go through the fire. You're going to have to go through the booze. You're going to have to go through the criticism to get to where you want to go. Anything worth having is, gonna, I mean, look, it has to be hard, and that's what it is right now.
So you mentioned that there were still guys in the fourth quarter going out with a lot of fight. Drake May appears to be somebody who yeah. just has that very naturally. Was there any conversation at all in the fourth quarter when Justin Herbert is on the sidelines on the other side about, hey, should Drake go back in at all? Or was it just kind of a given at that point?
Look, Drake is a competitor. He said he was good. He was cleared by the NFL, and he wanted to play.
When you look at this up-and-coming game, I know that you had mentioned that as far as starting Drake May, everything's still on the table. Do you plan on starting him, or is there, when you say there's a lot of things on the table, what do you mean by that in general?
You already answered the question. There are a lot of things on the table, and look, it's, what is it, Monday? Playing on a Saturday, my days kind of get messed up.
Today's Monday.
Yeah, today's Monday, so we have time to have those conversations.
How many people, if you mind sharing at all, are involved in those conversations about, hey, we're looking at Drake, we're looking at maybe somebody else at the quarterback position and positions elsewhere besides just the quarterback?
Yeah, we have multiple staff meetings every single day. And so those conversations come up, and ultimately it's my decision. At the same time, those conversations happen every day.
Is there an emphasis in Sunday's game against the Bills to try to get more of a look at some of the younger guys or some of the guys who have gotten less play time throughout the season to see what you have going into the offseason?
I mean, it kind of goes back to kind of what I said earlier. Like, everything's on the table, and guys want to go out there and play, and guys need to go out there and play and get better. That's how you get better at playing football, is playing football.
Right, and I guess my thing would be, like, Drake has done an amazing job since he's been the starter. Is there a little bit of concern because of the concussion to lead you to say, well, we might?
It was never a concussion. He was cleared.
Cleared. Okay. All right. So he was cleared from the hit. So is that maybe why you're saying that, okay, maybe everything's on the table? Because when I think everything's on the table, I'm thinking, well, is Drake not going to potentially not start on Sunday?
I mean, that could happen. That's what I'm saying. Like, everything is on the table. I'm still.
And is that pop because of the hit that he took?
It has
or?
Nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with, look, it's the last game of the season, and we have to look forward. Like, going back to, like, it's a journey. I mean, it's not just about one game. It is, you know, trying to be present and win this football game, but it's a journey, and we got to think, look out the front windshield, where we want to go.
The way that, just from an outside perspective, the way that Drake's head injury and the evaluations played out in that game were a little unusual compared to a lot of times when we see somebody go down to the locker room, we don't see them come back out. And so you got a huge boost from the fans. Drake comes back out on the field, and everybody's very excited. Of course, he's going to be out there.
I don't know. Sorry, not to cut you off. I don't know what the numbers are or what percentage of guys come out of the locker room. I've seen that before, though.
Oh, no, I know. But yeah. Oftentimes it's yep. You see him go in the locker room, and you go, oh, no. Like, yeah. That's kind of the inclination. Do you feel like then you see Drake take off on a run immediately when he's on the field? Do you feel like he's at a point in his development where you're comfortable with him being able to protect himself as a free runner?
He has gotten better. You know, early in the season, he was taking a lot more hits. I would say he has gotten better, and that's part of him just developing. And look, he is, you know, the quarterback position as a whole is the most important position on the football field. And he'll continue to grow, continue to develop, and take less hits going forward.
I think it's something that a lot of fans, because they know the value of a quarterback,
yep.
and they're so excited about a young quarterback. It's not just him. It's, you watch other rookies around the league who are very mobile, and the fear of them getting hurt is real. So do you think that there's further steps that Drake should take in the off season that the entire offensive coaching staff can look at for him in terms of not taking away that out of his toolbox, but making him better at protecting himself from those hits?
Well, I would say that, you know, first of all, we have five big guys up there who are responsible for protecting a quarterback. You know, and then having the ability to extend plays is always a risk of getting hit once you get outside the pocket. But again, look, he's a competitor, and he's growing. He's still young, and I think that's the most important thing for people to remember. He's still a very young player. He's still learning a lot about football and professional football and how big and how fast the other guys on the other side of the ball are. But again, I would say at the point now versus earlier in the season, he does a better job protecting himself.
There were some guys, Keon White, after the game, and, you know, I think Jonathan Jones might have said it as well, is just like there needs to be some changes made. You know, generally from my perspective as a former player, when I think of like a guy that a player says changes, I think that he might be talking about where he feels – he's being placed when it comes to the coaches in a specific role, and maybe he feels like maybe there might should be a new DC, new D-line coach. Who the hell knows?
What's he mean by that? I had a conversation with him this morning. I had a conversation after the first comment. Look, again, it goes back. This is a symptom of losing football games too. And you know, as a competitor, you get frustrated. I will say this: like, he took some accountability too for, you know, the way that he's performed this year. And again, the expectation is to get better going forward, and it starts this week against the Bills.
Does he feel? Probably no, he doesn't. But does he specifically talk about where he feels like he could be more valued in his specific role in the defense?
The roles change all the time. Look, he started the season off hot, and there was a lull there. And again, it just goes back to him being frustrated with this play. And sometimes those things come out. It's a human reaction to be frustrated. And sometimes we all say things that we don't really mean.
Do you think that the comments that he made to Karen Garigian in particular were things that he didn't really mean in saying, I'm just trying to get through these next few games?
Look, when I talked to him, he was like, look, that's not what I meant, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. And do you think that any of the frustration is obviously born out of losing.
That's right.
If you're winning games, everybody's happy. It's dancing in the locker room, and it's a celebration. But do you think that there's any extra level of frustration from just having veteran guys having to be playing not necessarily out of position, but maybe in a position that's or a style that's more uncomfortable because of the need for the team overall?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and these guys have to, all of us, check our ego at the door. And sometimes we have to play in positions that we may not feel comfortable with. But if it's better for the football team, and that's how I think about it. Look, there are individuals in there, individual men, but I have to do what's best for the football team. And, you know, that's always been the goal, and that would be the goal going forward.
How do you get players, because like you said, it is frustrating when you're losing, but how do you get them, and yourself included, to make sure that when we say certain things, it's going to come across a certain way, because we're not telling the whole story? So I guess maybe it's like, is that learning lessons for you and this team
100%
heading into next year? Like, when we start to say things out of frustration, we have to be careful.
100%. Like, once you say things out of frustration, I mean, there's no taking it back. So 100%. I do think it's important, even a guy like Keon, like, he's another young guy. You know, he's been in the league just a handful of years. Like, he's a young guy, and he's learning on and off the field and how things really affect the team.
How difficult do you think it is having some of the more veteran guys, say like Juwan Bentley, for example, be absent from the field in keeping the message consistent through the locker room?
I mean, look, it's been a very difficult year, record aside. You know, we lost some good leaders as far as playing. Think about Bentley, David Andrews, you know, those guys, and it is tough. And at the same time, like, our expectation has to be next man up, be ready to go, and be ready to go out there and perform. And we've done that at times. And I think the biggest thing for me is just the, you know, we're just inconsistent. Mm-hmm. You know, we go out there, we play against the Bills, we lose the game. I mean, but it was a hard-fought game. And then, you know, the Chargers are a good football team. They came in here and whooped our tails. And now it's, look, what are we going to do this upcoming week? It's the last opportunity we have to do anything.
I know you get to sit down. You told us that you get to sit down with Robert, and I don't know if Jonathan's in on those meetings every week, but has there been any conversation, because there's so much speculation going on and about whether or not you'll be coming back, returning. Like, do you sit in those meetings, and has some of that been told to you on what, because I know you prepare for a game, but you also still got to be preparing for, okay, what my future holds. Has there been any conversations from the crafts on, like, where they see you and this team moving forward?
I'm in constant communication with ownership. We have good conversations. We have hard conversations, but that's just part of our relationship. And again, like, their expectation is that we need to win football games, and that's what we have to do.
Obviously, the focus is on the Bills game Sunday, but there is overarching considerations such as the draft position. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you speak with ownership about, or is it something that's even in consideration going into game planning?
Look, I would keep all, you know, all those conversations I have with ownership private. And again, like, they're all about winning football games. So that's my job, to get the guys out there ready to go.
So moving forward, obviously, there was the, I don't know whether you call it miscommunication between Ramondre and Antonio Gibson. What's your expectations moving forward? It seemed like Antonio Gibson got the bulk of the carries. Ramondre's had some issues where he's fumbled the ball, even though he did start. Is this something that moving forward that he's going to have to continue to prove if he wants to get more playing time, or are you guys made the decision that maybe you're leaning more towards going with Gibson from here on
out?
Yeah,
I would say, you know, for this game, all things are still under consideration, and, you know, we'll know as the week goes on.
All right, let's get to our Hellman's Mayo question of the week. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So you spoke after the game, and you just reiterated this feeling of an inconsistency with the team. One week you do things well, the next week it seems like there's another crop of problems or some things are better. What is one thing that you've been able to find that this team does consistently that you would like to take into the off season and into next season?
I would just say, you know, the overall just mental toughness. The guys, look, it hasn't been easy. We won a few games. The guys are frustrated, but at the same time come in every single day ready to work, and I think that's a huge piece of the puzzle. And staying even, you know, amongst all the noise. And again, you know, going back to Drake, that's one of his strengths, is ignoring the noise and just wanting to do what's best for the football team. And we have a lot of guys like that on the team.
Well, I will say this, them Jordan 4s was clean. Them joints was white, crispy, clean. So, I mean, even though the outcome wasn't what you wanted, them Jordans was clean. Thanks, bro.
All right, Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots. The conversation with the coach is brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. Happy holidays. Happy New Year's.
Thank you
so much for joining us on WEEI all season long.
Appreciate you.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart's WEEI Afternoons. Stiz playing. What is this?
This is from the Rocky Broadway musical. It's called My Nose Ain't Broken.
There is a Broadway musical of Rocky?
Damn right there.
I was thinking the same thing. Is it active?
I don't know if it's currently running. We will effort that and find out.
I would see that. Time out. Is this Rocky singing right now?
No. This is a guy named
Andy
Carl.
Yeah, this is Sly
Carl.
Stallone. Can't you tell?
Sly. No, this is a guy named Andy Carl.
But he plays Rocky in the show.
He might. I don't know.
Why does he sound like he's a country music singer? He doesn't sound like he's from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like Rocky at all.
A lot of questions here.
He sounds like John Denver. This is... But I don't know about this.
I'd like to see it.
I don't know if I want to see it. Turn the song up, though. Yeah, forget it, actually.
I can't envision that guy saying, "Yo, Adrian!"
I know.
Like,
really? And Rocky the Musical. I didn't know that even was a thing.
I want to go.
Anyways, that was Gerard Mayo talking about how you got to evaluate everything. I think the Crafts are evaluating everything. And I think that now, wherever you were before, and I think most people were of the mind that Gerard Mayo would be back. Maybe people didn't like it, but they all thought, whether I like it or not, he's coming back. I'd say that's gone to 50-50 at the lowest. Maybe even like 60-40 he's gone now, just in terms of like public opinion of what they think's going to happen, not what they want to have happen.
Yeah.
I think we've come to that point now. And it is partially to do with the reporting of guys like Schefter and Rappaport and Kern and everybody who were saying things like, well, if it's a real, real bad end of the season, then of course people might change their mind. It's been a real, real bad end of the season. We don't know what's going to happen this Sunday, but I don't think it really matters at this point to have a loss like that to the Chargers, where you just get absolutely boat raced coming off of a good loss, quote unquote, to the Bills and the worst loss of the season, which was to Arizona after the bye week. I'd say having two of your worst three losses or two of your worst losses of the year in your last three games down the stretch here in this last month is what we meant when we talked about calamity. I think that's what we all were talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
Unless it was all about some big scandal that Mayo's in or something along those lines. If we're just talking about what happened on the field, on the grass, then it's been and is every definition of calamity.
Yeah, I mean, other than Drake May not having what you said in the first segment, like the real eye-opener,
right,
five picks, embarrassment, or I'll be honest with you, if he got hurt and he got hurt kind of running around like a chicken with his head cut off, some people would put that on the coaches, right?
They would.
Especially since
he left the game with a head injury.
Well, and Alex Van Pelt has said the biggest key is to get him to the finish line healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, you even brought up benching him.
Yep.
Sitting him. And I hated your idea of benching him until Alex Van Pelt said the most important thing is to get him to the finish line healthy. Well, if that's the most important thing, then don't play him. I want him to get experience, but if you're so worried about him getting hurt, and he has left multiple games with head issues.
Trauma, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he said bell rung this time.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the protocol. He went to the locker room, whatever. So, by the way, that's the other thing there I do find interesting. So he goes to the medical tent, which guys do all the time.
Yep.
Some guys return very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like obvious, boom. Oh, he doesn't have a concussion. Get up. Why'd he go to the locker room? Like, isn't that a little weird?
Yeah.
But then he's okay.
Right.
And yet
they checked him out in the tent and said, we got to get him to the locker room.
Yeah.
He goes to the locker room. Yeah, you're fine. Get back out there.
Yeah,
like, that's weird.
That didn't really sit well with me. And I'm all like, I'm not a liberal weenie like you, softy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm probably a hardo in the wrong direction. Later, I may need to bitch about people that don't know what a helmet-to-helmet hit is and targeting and spearing and all these various things.
Oh, you're anti-player safety.
No, I'm all for player safety.
Anti-player
But
safety.
The best way for a player to stay safe is don't play football because mm-hmm. it's an archaic, barbaric sport
sure.
where guys get hurt and heads get hit. But that was interesting that he said he got his bell rung and the blue tent wasn't enough to clear him to return to the field to play. They needed something else. Did they have, like, a better pen light in the locker room to do, like, the eyeball test?
Yeah, right.
What was missing in the blue tent that became available in the locker room that cleared him?
It's a great point. And
Jonathan saying, get his ass out there!
And that's partially why I don't need to see Drake May on Sunday. I don't need to see him at all. I absolutely don't. I kind of want to get a look at Joe Milton. I think best case scenario that Drake May goes out there and has his first really awesome game of the season. And there's some value to that. It's against Buffalo Scrubs, I know, but there's still some value to that, I think. But worst case scenario is that he has another kind of crappy game or just the whatever game, or he gets his bell rung again, or whatever. I don't think that there's much value in having him go out there. Like, he's had plenty of reps this year. It would be nice to see him go out there and really tear it up. I think that'd be kind of a nice thing
but
to end the season on, but I'm not sure there's value from
right.
that.
Right, like, the negative stuff could happen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like where we started the year when everybody was like, you're going to get him killed behind this offensive line. Protect him as long as you...
Right.
No one ever brought up, well, what if he's good? What if he can play? Which he can.
Mm-hmm.
And he's brought people to his side. But in this game, if he plays well, do you get value or credit for it? Or do people say, the Bills were prepping for the playoffs. The
right.
Bills didn't play anybody. The Bills played their backups. I almost feel like it's a no-win situation to get anything valuable out of Drake May in this game.
Yeah.
If he gets hurt, you're lambasted for being an idiot and playing him in a meaningless game, which actually could hurt your draft status. And if he plays well, he beat Mitchell Trubisky in the Bills backups. Woo-wee, it's really rolling. Like, there's no value in anything.
Yeah, and if he goes out and plays against the backups and doesn't have a great game, that sucks. Like, forget about getting hurt or anything. Like, I just say he goes out there and has sort of a schmeh kind of game, 180 yards, a touchdown, and an interception against the backups. You look at that and think, okay, well, what do we need to do that for?
Well, because he's got a streak on the line. He needs his ninth straight game with a touchdown pass?
Yeah, something like that.
No one's ever done it or something. I don't know.
Very, very important.
It's an SID stat that you put in the press release and no one even talks about
it. We'll get to more of that about who should start and should maybe even play at all this weekend and everything else. According to Alex Van Pelt, he is playing. He was taking first team reps. Joe Milton was out there taking a lot of reps today, too, at practice. We'll get you some updates from Gillette and Foxborough and the practice and what they had to say about that earlier today. If Mayo goes... Who do you want? If Mayo's gone, who do you want to replace him?
So, like, realistic one? I mean, Ben Johnson, every time I watch him,
mm-hmm.
you know what really struck me? So, Ben Johnson has the Lions run that fake fumble touchdown.
Yes.
And then the Patriots have whatever they ran against the Chargers. That
the actual fumble
actual
touchdown
fumble.
The other way. Yeah.
Like, they are so inept in that just that sort of juxtaposition visually.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing things you do naturally to pretend they're doing it to make it work for him.
Yep.
He's really impressive. He really is. And I don't know if it's realistic. I also didn't know. Did you know he started his coaching career at BC?
Ben Johnson? No, I didn't know that.
Come home, my friend.
Yeah, come
home.
Back. Sure.
Come back to New England. If it's not Ben Johnson.
If Ben Johnson leaves Detroit, I wonder if Dan Campbell's going to get exposed a little bit. Because,
well, Aaron Glenn, too. He could lose both coordinators.
And if he loses Aaron Glenn, fine. I think that it's easier to, because Detroit's defense isn't great anyway. Like, it's good. It's not great.
Well, they lost their best player,
and they did
too.
Lose their best player, which is an important part of that. But I think they have guys in place that you could bring in another defensive coordinator and be sort of where you are right now.
Gerard Mayo?
Maybe. I don't know how you replace Ben Johnson over there. And I think when you try to, if you don't get someone who's as good as he is, all of a sudden the Dan Campbell experience may not be as I think he's doing a lot of legwork over there in Detroit that Dan Campbell's getting credit for. But either way, I have him at the top of my list, too. I think it'd be a courtesy interview because there's no way he would want to come here. I think there's better destinations. Oh,
this is the guy we talked about. I don't know who they'd promote or they'd bring from outside, but remember my buddy Tanner Engstrand is their passing game coordinator.
Tanner Engstrand, yes. I remember you bringing that name up because it's a funny name.
Yeah, he might be next in line, or their quarterback's coach is a name we are all familiar with, Mark Brunell.
Right.
So those are probably your internal options for promotion.
Mark Brunell, remember when he cried about
Spygate or Deflategate?
One of the gates. I think he was on TV crying about it.
Yeah, he did. Which one was it?
I think it was Deflategate.
The original?
No. I think it was Deflategate.
Oh, no, the sequel.
Yeah.
They need to bring back another. That's what they should do to distract from everything else. Mm. Have another scandal.
Mayo Gate.
They need a third.
Mayo's
right?
Got to do something.
Aren't
get
all
Mayo
those
gate
trilogies?
Going.
You got to have a trilogy.
True. You know, it's true.
They need another gate.
Maybe that's what this team is missing, is another gate.
Yeah, when they had scandals, they won Super Bowls. That's a fact.
So you want Johnson over Vrabel? You're not as in love with Vrabel as maybe you once were.
So, to me, the key with Vrabel, I love Vrabel. I think, I was thinking about this. I need to go do the exact numbers. I think he's a top 15 NFL coach right now, even though he's not an NFL coach right now.
Okay.
I think he's so much better than so many of the clowns running some of these teams. I actually think he's better than Dan Campbell. I think he's a better version of Dan Campbell.
Mike Vrabel's smarter better version. Than Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. He just didn't have a Ben Johnson, and he lost him when he had him, the quarterback, like some of the other factors. He didn't have a GM that built the talent around him as well. In fact, they had talent he traded away. So Mike Vrabel. But who is Mike Vrabel's offensive coordinator? That would be the key to me. Is it Alex Van Pelt? Is it Josh McDaniels? Which I think you can spin Josh McDaniels would be a really interesting one because most people assume he's not going to get another head coaching job. So even if he kills it with Drake May, you're not going to lose him. That would be my concern. That started to happen in Tennessee. Vrabel lost a couple offensive coaches.
Right.
And the key for me here is, so you change head coaches, which means you automatically change everything for Drake May heading into year two. Don't set up a scenario where you could be doing that again in a year or two. And so I need to know who Vrabel would be paired up with that could be a long-term sidekick, for lack of a better word, with Drake May. And I actually wonder, was thinking about this too. Josh McDaniels, if he comes in, say they offered him the offensive coordinator job because, you know, he's right down the road, he's in the building sometimes,
right.
He's been good with quarterbacks, they have a relationship.
These are all things that I hate, by the way.
I know, but yeah. I don't know what they think of. Mm-hmm. Do you think he might take the job thinking, well, on the one hand, Mayo could get axed anytime.
Yep.
So I could be out of work. Or Mayo could get axed at any time. I could be the interim head coach by November of next year, and that's the only way anyone's ever going to put HC next to my name again.
I think that's very realistic. I don't like it, but I think that's
very
realistic.
And if you kill it, if you're with Drake May, so you already have one check in your favor,
yep.
And then maybe you go 6-2 down the stretch or something. We see interims get turned into regular head coaches.
Sure. Antonio Pierce went 5-4 down the stretch with Vegas, and he kept the job.
And that's probably the only way Josh McDaniels is ever going to be a head coach in the NFL again.
Oh, no one else would hire him.
Because I don't even think the Patriots would hire him as their head coach. But if he just slides into the interim role and then wins in the interim role, and he's getting along with Drake May, well, it's hard to get rid of him at that point.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't want that to happen. And I think
so Vrabel McDaniels, you don't like
No,
either?
I don't want that. I don't want them to go back to the well. I don't want them to go back to people that they all know. Everybody's in their Rolodex and try and keep the Patriot way going with their friends. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that whole thing.
Yeah, but this isn't the Patriot way.
I think it's time
way.
To start over.
Are we living the Patriot way or the Brown way, Packer way, blended with a Patriot way?
I think keeping Gerard Mayo around and making him the heir apparent and trying to keep that all going was just the Kraft's trying to keep the Patriot way going. That's what I think it is, just without Bill Belichick. And I think it's the same thing if you bring in McDaniels. Even Mike Vrabel. Vrabel's not in the coaching tree, but he's a friend of the Kraft. You know, like, I don't like that. I don't need any more of this incestuous crap going on at Gillette anymore. I'm done with it. It's time to blow it up, start over, and bring in people who are actually ready to come in and do this.
But you like Dan Campbell.
I mean, like him how?
Like,
do
the
I
style,
like him?
Do you like? Check yes or no.
Yes, no, maybe.
No, just in terms of culture, style, whatever.
Sure.
So, to me, Vrabel is, as I said, a better version of Dan Campbell.
Is he, though?
Not a Patriot way. He's a sarcastic, chatty, but smart head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He does things in an ex-player kind of way.
Sure.
To stare across the field and smile and, you know, be the aggressive guy and all those things.
Gerard Mayo's an ex-player too, not impressed.
Who does nothing.
Mm.
The question continues to be asked, and I'm waiting for an answer. What does Gerard Mayo do well?
I don't know.
Because I can answer that with Dan Campbell. I can answer that with even Josh McDaniels. I know what he did well. He can coach quarterbacks. Even you go back to, like, Denver when he had Kyle Orton as his quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Orton was pretty good. The rest of his situation was debacle.
Yeah.
So somebody, I'll give you the next 3.5 hours.
All right.
Tell me what Gerard Mayo does well by the end of the show.
I don't think I'll be able to, but I will give you other names of people that I'd like to have him come in here and interview that have nothing to do with the Patriots and nothing to do with the Crafts and nothing to do with Mike Vrabel or Josh McDaniels or anybody who's ever worked here before, because that's the way I want them to go. Offense and unfamiliar. I want it to be an offensive guy, and I don't want him to know. I want him to do interviews, and whoever they like the most in the interview is who I want them to hire, not who they know the best and who they've feel the most comfortable. I'm over that. I think they should be over that, too.
Speaking of Drake May, he is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. And by Carty's Furniture and Mattresses, get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Carty's Furniture and Mattresses. Drake May, how are we feeling today?
What's going on? Yeah, feeling all right. How about y'all?
Good. So we are kind of, a day removed from that Saturday game, so we've had some time to think about it. And I think the first question a lot of fans want to know, you obviously left the game, went into, I guess, concussion protocol, went to the locker room, were able to come back. Are you feeling any ill effects? Because I know sometimes head injuries pop up later. Anything from the hit that we should be concerned with?
No, I feel good. I felt good. Going back in the game, I felt good when I was out there, and felt good taking off, took a few hits, after I came back in the game. So felt all right and still feel good today. So looking forward to practice this week.
So, Drake, you said you're looking forward to practice this week. There's been some reports, speculation of what the Patriots will do this weekend when it comes to playing time. Obviously, the number one pick being in play, I know that might not matter to you personally, but have you been told anything? Is there any sense from you? Are you going to play this Sunday? You're preparing to play? Could it be Joe Milton or some combination of the two? Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, nothing really been across to me. I'm preparing like I'm ready to go watch the Bills some more tonight. So nothing has been said to me. But I think every week you prepare like you're the starter regardless. So you're ready kind of for whatever. Looking forward to getting another chance and opportunity this weekend.
I'm assuming you've watched the film from Saturday, and I think we can both agree not one of the better performances for the offense. When you went back and looked at it, what went wrong? What happened? Why were you guys not really able to stay on the field and score points?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was I thought the effort was there. I think just execution. It comes down to, me and that, even that first third down, I had a chance at pop on a route and had a chance on some later third downs. The one come out of the half where we got a chance to get back in the game, the third down, I think I stepped up and took a hit I probably didn't need to step into and had KB open. So I think just things that execution-wise, and I think just paying more attention to the little things, like the third and one, and I ended up taking a bad sack on the next fourth down, some things that just kind of added up. I feel like we really never really got in a rhythm, and then I think it's tough to kind of call when they got some good pass rushers on the edge and they know we're passing, trying to get back in the game. So I think it's kind of one of those things where we didn't execute early on and didn't help our defense out.
Drake, I'd like you to zoom out for a second here. This Patriots team has already lost more games than your 2 years combined starting at UNC. I know you're a rookie and you're working on your development, but What have you done, or what do you try to do to work through that and kind of deal with being on a team that unfortunately just has not been winning many games this year?
Yeah, it's been tough. It's been a frustrating year for everybody. You know, everybody wants to win, and it was tough for a new head coach and Coach Mayo. He wants to win. He's really frustrated when we don't win. So everybody's on the same board. Everybody in the league wants to win. That's what's so hard about the NFL. You know, everybody shows up every week, and really so much parity between the league. Anybody can beat everybody. So I think the biggest thing is handling the losses. Don't let the reef kind of just roll on. Don't let these practice weeks just roll on. Kind of try to get something from each and every week, or get something from each and every game. I think that's the biggest thing I've kind of taken away from some of these games. I'm getting a lot of big time reps, and getting blitzed, and facing some zone, facing some man, having to make different throws, and having to be in different situations at the end of games. I think that's the best thing for me, is to get some out of these weeks and some out of these experiences, so that these when things come back, hopefully in next year and years to come, that when these things matter, when these games matter, we're prepared for it and we've seen it.
We talked to you last week about your comfort dealing with the media and your measured responses. We saw some frustration, I think, Saturday from some of your teammates. Pop Douglas just flat out said he's sick of losing. Keon White mentioned some things. Yeah, things have to change. We're losing. Otherwise, what's the point here? As a leader, does that fall under your umbrella? Do you talk to guys even about things like that, like not getting frustrated? Or if you are frustrated, not necessarily sharing it with the media the way they did post-game?
I didn't see their comments. I can only speak for myself. So I really think these guys are they're frustrated with losing. I'm frustrated, and I think handling the media and the way that sometimes media twists the words can be tough. So I think the best way to fix it is just work harder and find ways to win. And I think when you're making plays and you're doing your job, that's what we always preach: do your job and work hard, and things will come up on the right side. I think the guys and what they're saying in the media will be more positive, and I can't blame them. I think some of the stuff about, I hate losing, tired of losing, I think we all are. So that's about all I got to say about that.
Drake, your development has been a major storyline this year, and you've talked about certain areas where you've gotten better and learned from Jacoby Brissett. You specifically mentioned run checks. And, of course, I know in the NFL there's different protections, different route concepts to learn through. Now that you have one game left here and you can look back at your development and your season so far, is there anything specifically that you think you need to continue to work on, you need to continue to develop, or is it more just a general thing for you?
Yeah, I think one of the big things for us has been kind of stalling out drives and getting behind the chains. So I think me looking at, looking at my sacks the past couple of weeks and see, can I check it down or find an incompletion or throw it away? I think little things like that, just for us to stay ahead of the chain, because I think, there's been times where I've thrown it away, or I'm kind of just, thrown in the dirt, and we've ended up, staying ahead of the chain and helping us out. I think just taking a look at all my sacks and trying to find a way, so I can get it out, or not take this sack or not take this hit, just to help my body and help the team.
Along those lines, you mentioned the fourth down sack where you kind of lost those yards in an inopportune position, gave the Chargers almost a red zone trip. Even the sideline hit that led to you going to the locker room. Have you found, they always say the speed of the game is an adjustment. Have you found literally defensive ends, linebackers, they get up on you quicker, and maybe when you see 5 yards, 7 yards of open grass in college, I can pick up seven. In the NFL, they close that gap quicker. Have you noticed that speed of the game?
I think specific players, you definitely see that. I think, Derwin James is one of them. He's a great player, and it was a problem for us on Saturday. So there's things that throughout the game plan, throughout the week, we try to harp on. I think we just, back to what I said about execution, we didn't execute them. So I think these guys at this level, they're in the NFL, making a lot of money playing. This sport, we faced two good edge guys last week. So I think they definitely are bigger and faster, and kind of leads to me needing to play kind of more on time and kind of think ahead.
Drake, there's obviously a ton of young players on this Patriots team, and while you were the headliner of the draft class, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and Caden Wallace were major parts of it as well. I know Wallace has had injuries this year and has missed some time. When you look at Polk and Baker, I know it's been a tough year for them. From your perspective, how would you judge their development from the time you first started working with them over the summer all the way till now?
Yeah, I think they've made plays. They've made plays in practice, made plays throughout camp. I think the biggest thing is just having to translate to the game. I think those guys are wanting to be good players for us. They're They're studying like it. I think just the biggest thing is translating to the games and me giving them opportunities. I think that's the biggest thing is kind of getting comfortable kind of in the game spotlight. It took me, you know, adjusting, you know, a couple games too, or even a couple drives too. It takes a lot of reps and a lot of kind of repetition to kind of get comfortable in the game setting. And I think that's just kind of the testament to us taking the approach and me bringing them along this offseason because we need those guys and they're going to be great players for us.
Drake, what was your reaction to the Fire Mayo chants that we heard from the home crowd yesterday and even the booing? Are you a guy that believes fans, you know, have the right to boo when they show up and don't like what they see?
I think, you know, what Coach Mayo said about, hey, they're paying for the seat and, you know, when we're not playing and winning games, you understand they're frustrated. So we're frustrated as well and kind of just echo what Coach Mayo says. We need to, you know, be better. I'll be better, coaches, players, everybody, you know, as a Patriots, we want to, you know, win games and play well for these fans, and we appreciate their support. So I think down the road, hopefully there's something that they see and kind of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Drake, Cole Strange played his first game of the year, and he was at center on Saturday. How was your comfort level with him? Do you think that's a role for him going forward with you as well?
Yeah, I thought Cole, he stepped in there, did a nice job, with Ben out. I think the biggest thing about Cole is what he was – just comfortable. You can see some plays where he's moving guys, moving D linemen in the run game. I think that free play where he snapped it, you know, kind of getting to catch him off sides is huge. We practiced that throughout the week, so definitely saw some things that translated to the game, and I'm sure he'd say that there's areas that we can get better. So I think looking forward to seeing kind of what he brings, and it was good to have him back out there.
I know you referenced the pressure at the point of attack, I guess, on that trick play, the toss that turned into a fumble. So was that play was supposed to go to Pop coming across on the motion? Because it also looked like Hunter Henry was coming back to block, and there was a little bit of traffic there. And so what exactly was supposed to happen there, I guess, is my question.
Yeah. I'm not share too much about the schematic of the play. Just unfortunate. You know, I got to make a better toss and whoever, you know, is assigned to go to, I got to be, you know, make a better pitch. So
Drake, this season right now, you guys have 3 wins, 1 game to go. Last year, I know you weren't here, but there was only 4 wins. There's a lot of frustration in New England. You being a rookie, there's a ton of pressure on you to, you know, in some people's eyes, be the savior of the franchise, but or just to be a big piece of the turnaround. When you look at the future of this franchise, not just this week, but going forward with you as part of it, what's your confidence level that you guys will be able to turn this thing around and have a better football team on the field next year?
Yeah, I'm confident. I'm confident in the guys, confident in the coaches, you know, confident in myself. I think, you know, pressure is a privilege, and we want to, you know, improve. We want to be better, and I mean, we have guys that have shown flashes. We've shown flashes at the team this year of games that, we're putting our best, you know, foot forward, and it comes with, you know, the offense of, you know, not putting the defense in bad spots, and especially me turning the ball over and little things being better on kind of, you know, big situations of the game. So I'm real confident in the guys, and, you know, look forward to kind of what's to come. And I think this offseason is just another chance for us to work harder, you know, with the season we had and where we're at right now. It just gives us more motivation.
Speaking of the offseason and what's to come, I know you have one more game, but this is the last time I think we're going to talk to you here on a Patriots Monday. What is your process like when a season ends? Even going back to whatever it was, high school or college, you know, you got a year starting under your belt here. What is the process like of kind of putting to bed this season and then figuring out how to get better for next season? What is that transition like?
High school was, you know, I was going right into basketball season. In college, it was just get back to work. I think that's what college was. You get back and we have workouts in January. So I think, you know, now that the off season, I'll take probably, you know, some time off, but, you know, really get back to it. You know, I don't know how long I can go without throwing the football. That's, you know, what I do for a living, so I love, you know, spinning around and finding ways to get better. So may try to take the approach of, you know, watching kind of more stuff for myself film wise before kind of getting more to the physical aspect, but definitely roll into it before training camp and you know, off season OTAs and get things going.
All right, now we get the quarterback question of the week. The quarterback question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. Comes from Joe in Bridgewater, who wants to know, other than giving your offensive linemen some fancy bags and some nice sneakers, what was your Christmas like? How did you celebrate the holiday, and was it a little different your first year, I guess, kind of away from home and in New England as a professional quarterback?
Yeah, it was good. I got to see some family and had some family up, and then I think just being around the Patriots and those guys, and me and Jacoby went to eat. So it was nice to, you know, spend a Christmas. I think Christmas is Christmas and Thanksgiving kind of always been, you know, part of football for me and my, you know, past probably 5 years of my life. So it's just kind of, you know, part of it now, and it's different in the NFL. So hopefully down the road, hopefully we'll maybe be playing on, you know, one of those big-time games, and that's the goal.
All right, Drake, I appreciate you not only joining us today, but all season since you took over as the starting quarterback. These weekly chats have been insightful, and I can tell you from the Twitch chat and the text line, we get very good responses from fans that appreciate your insight into the team and the game. So good luck on Sunday, and good luck heading into the offseason.
Thank you, guys. Go fast. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Drake.
People on streets. Thankfully, one game left in this long, miserable season. And I take Gerard Mayo at his word when he said that on Monday or whenever that was, or I guess post-game on Sunday or Saturday, because I think I'm sure that he is looking at it like the Kraft's committed to me, and they committed to me a long time ago, and so I'm the guy going forward.
And I don't think that he ever says anything to media, press conference, anything that is he's trying to deceive anybody. I think he's truthful in everything that he says, and then there is discourse after the fact that makes him have to take it back. And for that, that's why I don't put a lot of the blame on Mayo when it comes to things he said. Like, I truly believe he thought they were going to burn some cash. He thought they were going to have more than four wins. He thought that Drake May was better than Jacoby Brissett in the preseason. Like, all of these things that he's had to end up walking back, and the reason that people are so upset with him for it, I think is because of higher-ups telling him he has to. Now, whether or not you agree with him listening to those people, well, would you listen to your boss if your boss came to you and said you needed to do something? I'm not talking about but
that's like massive dysfunction.
Yes.
In the junction. If
yes.
That's the way it's going.
And that's why I asked him. I said, has this played out the way in which you thought it was going to? Because I think he was promised things that didn't come to fruition. I think that he thought things were going to go a lot differently. And that sucks for him. And so, while everybody's turning their back on him, I feel a little bit like giving him some grace because I don't think that it's all his fault.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not all of it. There's a lot of it that rests on his shoulders, rightly or wrongly.
Especially the on-field product. And like that to me is, it's so bad.
That's him.
Yeah, when it comes to the penalties and the miscues on like the play, like that play on Saturday that was supposed to be kind of like a fake toss that was like an end around to Pop Douglas that ended up just being a fumble. Like, what was that? Why is the execution of that play not perfect if you're going to run it? If you're going to run a cool trick play, make sure it's perfect. Ben Johnson runs hook and ladders left and right, and it is perfect every time. Don't make sure you're executing things, and that's his job. He is responsible for the execution of the football team, and they failed to do that on a weekly basis.
Well, but he would tell you that once they cross the white lines, he has no say in it whatsoever.
Yeah, well, yeah. Before that game, though, you have every ounce of power in you to make sure you run it a million times and get it right.
Would you be interested in John Gruden? It appears that there are teams that are finding some interest in John Gruden.
I am one of the biggest John Gruden fans there is. I do not think it would be behoove any football team to bring him back in a head coaching capacity at this time.
Really?
Yeah. I also think he's having a lot of fun at Barstool.
Yeah.
He is, like, I think this is a side of the world he never knew, and he is enjoying his time. All he gets to do is just grind football tape, talk about it, and make silly videos, and then play golf all the time.
If an NFL team wants him at $10 million a year or whatever, he's going to take that job.
He might. I think it would have to be the right offer and the right situation. Like, even he's talked about, like, there's so many things that have to go right, and I think it would have to be the perfect situation for him.
I don't know. I mean, don't you think he probably feels like he was wronged in the first place when it came to the email release and the...
Yeah, but that's not why he was fired from the Raiders. The Raiders sucked.
Yeah.
You don't think he's a guy who wants redemption?
No, I don't think so. I think he's having a lot of fun kind of doing what he's doing. I think he is very different than Bill in that, like, Gruden is legitimately enjoying all of this Barstool stuff.
This is Walter. Hello, Walter.
God, I called earlier, but I agree with a lot of the stuff Mayo gaffes. But I just want to know, honestly, guys, what do you think Mike Vrabel's record would be with this roster?
I think
because,
that...
Because Vrabel had A.J. Brown, he had Derrick Henry, he had all pros, not just pro bowl players. So
yeah, but he had Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback.
Don't insult the Tannehill.
Look what he had around him.
He
has Drake May and a bunch of USFL guys. We got to be honest. I agree that Vrabel's a better coach.
He came here and beat Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
So what are you saying, Greg? How many wins? That's all I want to know with this roster.
I think virtually anybody would have an additional couple wins on this football team with the addition of Drake May. It's that what?
I don't know. I'm kind of with the caller. I don't think that Mike Vrabel would be able to fix what the product is on the field. Like, I don't.
This team. Last season, with basically the same roster, minus Drake May, mm-hmm. had four wins and lost a considerable amount of those games by a touchdown. Like, anybody would have an additional couple wins, I'm sorry to say it, on this football team.
I don't know that anybody would. I think Vrabel would have one or two more wins, sure. But, again, Greg, like, you had the greatest defensive mind in sports to keep you in games last year. Whereas you didn't have anything close, not even remotely close to that this year. That's the difference. And I don't, like, Vrabel's not Bill Belichick. I love Vrabel, but he's not Bill Belichick. He probably only wins you, like, an extra game or two because this roster is so bad.
This is Phil from New Hampshire. Hey, Phil.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year, everybody.
Same to you, Phil. Any resolutions, or as Courtney calls them, intentions?
I don't do resolutions. I just kind of live in a perpetual state of wanting to improve and wanting to make things better. I feel like I have no perfect days. Ooh. I'm a parent. There are no perfect days.
Oh, I like that.
I kind of like it. Good excuse.
So, Shime, I spoke to you the other day about, you know, this was a perfect storm for a culture reset. And I, you know, mentioned that we had 20 years of, you know, a guy who was freakishly detail-oriented, had a freakish work ethic, and accountability was huge. And we had a quarterback who bought into every bit of it, and that cultivated 20 years of amazingness. John Gruden, that is something that would fit exactly what I had spoken about. You have a culture monster, because Mayo doesn't know who he is. He has no identity. He's a culture monster. He had Rich Gannon, as an MVP candidate, playing a game that is very modern, that fits exactly Drake May's game. Oh, my God. They should be sending all the dogs out and talking to Gruden. If you want to have a culture and it's not Belichick-oriented, that is a great way to go. So okay. I'd like to hear your opinions on that, because I really like it.
Well, Shime thinks he wants to stay at Barstool, so...
I'd be going all out for him. I mean, I don't know how the crafts are with you know, paying coaches or really anybody, because we're $36.7 million under the salary cap. But, you know, it would be nice.
Well,
it would be nice to have something like that.
Do you think they really want and I put Gruden in this category, like, do you think they really want a head coach who's going to come in and be the guy and be in charge? Or did they, you know, quote unquote, get their football team back, and that's the way they want to run it?
Yeah, I don't think they want a persona as big as John Gruden if you're the New England Patriots.
You don't think Mike Vrabel is a pretty big persona?
No.
I think his personality is much more like a Bill Belichick than it is a Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, but it's so ingrained already in Patriot culture that it's not like it would rise above the brand, right? Like, Gruden, his name and his persona rises above the brand, whereas Vrabel is already one with the brand, so he kind of just would assimilate in a little bit more.
But I don't think that Vrabel would roll over and take it if the Crafts are meddling.
No, absolutely not.
And I think the Crafts maybe want somebody that they're okay doing that with.
Yeah, they want somebody who's going to meet with
them
every
week.
That's
why Mayo got the job.
And talk football with them, and that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like a very positive mixture for winning.
That's why I don't think we're going to have answers for this right after Sunday. Like, the fact that Scheim thinks we're going to, you know, if Gerard's on his way out, we're going to know immediately after.
We'll know Monday morning during our show, one way or another.
No way.
100%.
This is John from Gardner. Hey, John.
Good morning, good folks, and a happy new year and a healthy new year to all.
Same.
I think it was either two or three Mondays ago it dawned on me listening to your interview with Coach Mayo, who I, like everybody, I think is a good guy, and I feel bad about this. But you know what he lacks? Gravitas. He has no gravitas as a presence, as a coach. And the other side of it, you guys are just, I think I made this call after you went on vacation, Greg. What they really need is to blow it up and get a John Gruden type, which they never will because of what you just said. Kraft knows that Bill and Tom were the reasons, but he doesn't want a Bill-like person to come in and run the whole show and have the power. And it's, they either got to get one of these wunderkind coaches and figure out who to put above him as a GM, or a John Gruden type that could be a general manager and a coach, or just a general manager and run an operation. That's what they need, but they're never going to do it because of what all you just said about not wanting to lose control. And that's the error of their ways currently.
I mean, they have money to spend, and they're likely going to end up in a great spot when it comes to the draft. So is that are those two elements when it comes to improving your roster enough? And the whoever the head coach is doesn't make that much difference, maybe?
No, you know what? In the big scheme of things, I think they and we fans have been unrealistic about trying to do this year by year. They got to break it down, tell everybody, hey, we're starting from the ground up. We're going to stink probably, but we got to build a program here. And they're just trying like little nicks and pieces here and there that aren't going to add up to much of anything, especially with the people they have in the in the office and, sadly, Coach Mayo.
The issue, though, is this year was supposed to be that year that they started from the ground floor. Like, even Kraft, when he was on with us at the beginning of the year, was like, yeah, we don't really know how many wins we're going to have. But they knew it was going to be bad, but, like, they thought they were going to have building blocks. Instead, all they have is Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, and that's it.
They've gone backwards.
Yes, exactly.
And they knew this 2 years ago. He sent out that email to all the season ticket holders saying that he realizes that they need to get back to their winning ways, and it starts right then. So it's not just this past year. It was the start of last season that was supposed to be from the ground up. Now, I get it. You get rid of the best coach of all time and things start going haywire, but it's confusing how the Crafts could be doing this again for another season. And I don't know how many more emails or press conferences or
letters to the season ticket holders
they can write before people start saying, I'm out.
What's more egregious for the Crafts? To not fire Mayo and for next season to just be equally as bad and then have to fire him anyways, or to cut your losses, fire him now, and move on?
The latter is what I would do. Egregious. But I think
it would be more egregious to just trot Gerard Mayo back and expect something different.
You have to be pretty positive that you're going to have a good outcome, though, next season. A better outcome.
Sure, maybe, but at the same time, like, by losing your head coach, you're starting over again. Because you're like, oh, this was the wrong decision, this was the wrong direction, let's try this one more time.
This is Jason. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say that this whole thing, this all stems from ownership and people saying that, well, you know, Belichick was control of this was control of that. He did have the control, but I think Kraft said, oh, you know, if you can get these guys and coach them up and they might not cost as much, it all comes down to money. In the beginning of the year, Mayo said, we're going to burn some cash. And then the next day, a couple days later, oh, I misspoke. Well, who do you think? Obviously, Bob Kraft is like, hey, don't be saying that. A previous caller said, but $36 million under the cap, it's more like $130 million under the cap.
Yeah.
And the problem is they don't spend. Okay, perfect example, guys. Pete, after paying Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, they found a way to pay for him. See, that's what I'm saying. It's the money. It's all about the money. He doesn't want to spend, and he didn't do it with Brady. He didn't give him weapons. Belichick isn't going to say to Kraft, hey, you know what? I don't want good players because they cost too much money. Kraft is the one that's telling Belichick, and he used Belichick as a scapegoat. Just like in that hit piece, the Dynasty, remember that? That was a hit piece on Belichick. He uses him as a scapegoat, and he's going to do the same thing to Mayo. I'm out.
I'm out.
I like when callers do that. Sign off. Yeah. I'm out. Peace.
This is Coach from New Hampshire. What's up, Coach?
I promise I won't say I'm out, and Happy New Year. Anyway, Shime, I have a question. You know, I agree with you trading down and going to quarterback-starved teams that may pay a king's ransom, but here's my question, and it's, you can, you know, be honest. Like, has Aiden O'Connell done enough to stay with the Raiders? Has Drew Locke done enough to stay with the Giants? And has Will Levis done enough to stay with Tennessee? Lastly, last point, I promise, Mike Vrabel doesn't move the needle for me at all. I like Gruden, but I think what I've seen lately, Ben Johnson or the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady for Buffalo, those are the two guys that move my needle. Thank you.
Yeah,
I prefer offensive guys as well. Like Liam Cohen is another guy I would absolutely bring in for an interview. Local guy from Rhode Island, kicking ass down there in Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield on the offensive side of the football. And then in terms of the draft, like the Raiders are moving on from Aiden O'Connell. They are going to have a new head coach. They need a new quarterback. And the Giants, it would be a Giants move to give Drew Locke money, but they're going to draft a quarterback, and so are the Titans. The Titans are so over Will Levis, it's not even funny. And Callahan might actually be a decent coach, and they need a quarterback.
I love those that think you're somehow going to get Malik Nabers out of that deal.
Yeah, anybody who says that the Patriots should trade the Giants and get Malik Nabers is out of their mind. They wouldn't trade you Malik Nabers for anything you have. They wouldn't trade you Malik Nabers for Drake May.
No. Wishful thinking, Chime. Wishful thinking.
People are nuts, Greg.
All right.
Do you understand if you didn't play the whole game or, you know, kind of, have you talked at all about that yet?
Yeah, you know, you're preparing like I'm a starter. You know, I think I'm going to be the starter, so I'm looking forward to, you know, being out there. And I think, you know, I'm ready to, you know, go out there and win and compete. And in a close game, you want to be out there, and you get experiences in these close games that you don't, can't replicate in practice. You can't get those reps anywhere else. So look forward to, like I said, get one more chance to these guys and end off on a good note.
How's Drake May yesterday? Says he's preparing like he's the starter. Hasn't been told he's not starting.
Who knows? That doesn't even matter. He could be told he is and he won't, or he could be told that he isn't and he will.
Based on Ramondre Stevenson, yeah. Antonio Gibson from last weekend, you're right.
Tune in to find out.
What you've been told really doesn't matter. It's hour two, Jones and Keefe. A big triumphant return.
That's right.
And ushering in of 2025 here. We appreciate all the phone calls, 617-779-7937. We'll continue to get to you. If you're waiting patiently, that's also your text number. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft, the Razor, on a Bruins Thursday. Coming up here about a half an hour from now. We'll get to some Celtics talk later in the show as well. But obviously, Patriots front burner issue. We've talked about Jerod Mayo and his job security. The hot seat is absolutely burning up. We've talked about their approach in this game and whether or not they should win it or lose it. Tied into that is, of course, Drake May. Does he play? Does he not play? Drake May says he's preparing to play. He's expecting to start. But he also popped up on the injury list yesterday with an odd injury. Was it a finger or a hand? I forget how they listed it.
Yeah.
But either way, I don't think a lot of the beat writers are buying that. Could they be laying the foundation for Drake May to not be rested, quote unquote,
yeah,
but to come up with a phantom injury and keep him off the field? I think it would be the right approach, by the way.
Sure.
And I think they're trying to kind of split the difference there, yep, by not playing him but coming up with an excuse so they're not tanking, because Elliott Wolf on the record said we're not going to tank.
No, great. Good call.
Yeah.
No, right hand. Limited participant yesterday with a right hand injury for Drake May. So, yeah, Jerod Mayo just can't get out of his own way, and he was at it once again when he's talking about, he's like, well, Drake's our starter. It's like, we know he's your starter.
Can I give you an update? Actually, literally in the last minute, okay. Alex Van Pelt just hit the podium.
Oh.
Drake May will be starting for sure.
Lame.
Alex Van Pelt on Drake May. He'll be starting the game for sure. Multiple beat Reese, Perry, bunch of the beat writers had it. He just said it.
You could play him a series, and then you could sit him down.
Well, that's a good point.
You could do that. You could preseason game
as long as Josh Allen's in there, he's out there.
Yeah, Josh is out. Drake, you're out.
Yeah, you're out.
Match him up that way.
Yeah, that seems to me like a mistake. Now, don't get me wrong. You've lost plenty of games with Drake May. This doesn't mean you're going to win the game fall in the draft. Like, you can have your best effort against the twos of Buffalo.
You can
and
lose
still
to
lose.
Buffalo's twos. 100%.
Easily.
Yes.
So this isn't a be-all end-all. I think this is dumb. We've taken calls since week one about them tanking. Mm-hmm. Like, week one being like, they should tank.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I were both like, no, they really shouldn't do that yet. But talk to me December, January, or talk to me when there's even a couple game scenario. But now when it's down to one game, literally one game, to go from the number one pick to who knows what with the tiebreakers, right? Fourth, I think, is as low as they can go.
Yes, because Detroit won on Monday. Yeah, I don't understand all the
math. It's all strength of schedule and
but
stuff.
Because Detroit won, the lowest they can pick is four. Or, you know what I mean? The farthest they can slide is to four.
Like, it's so dumb to me. It's not even really up for discussion, because if you see in a any given year what it would take to move up from four to one, or what you would get if you move down from one to four,
it's significant.
Yeah. And so
probably,
but if you go out there and win one on Sunday, and then, like, what does that do? What does that accomplish? I hate the culture. No, that's a year of tanking, which teams don't do outside of the Colts for Andrew Luck. Teams don't really tank for a full year. The Commanders tanked last year at the trade deadline when they got rid of their best pass rushers, and they ended up getting the number two pick, and I think they're happy with it.
Yes.
And now they're in the playoffs, for God's sakes. So, no,
yeah,
this
what
is,
good did the tanking and the culture do
yeah,
that?
Yeah. We've joked about must lose games before. There's been must lose games for other teams. You know, those years when the Celtics were fighting at the lottery, there were must lose games. This is the most must lose game you can possibly have.
Yeah, there's
this is throw the
no
ball in the stands.
None.
This is like tackle yourself on offense. This is get out of the way on defense. This is the most cut and dry do not win the game.
Van Pelt added on, by the way. So again, Van Pelt is talking right now. Drake May will be starting the game, quote-unquote, for sure, is what Alex Van Pelt says.
Jeez.
Should we take that to the bank, number one?
No.
Van Pelt also said they're not going to do design runs with him, and then the next week they're out there doing design runs.
Yeah.
Jerod Mayo said they were going to start Antonio Gibson, and they started Ramondre Stevenson.
He didn't know Marcus Jones played offense, so I wouldn't really take anything to the bank. Mayo could change his Mayo might have told Van Pelt he's starting. So then Van Pelt goes up there. He's like, he's starting. And then Mayo could talk to him after lunch and be like, he's not.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, what am I going to do?
I also would allow for this. Van Pelt getting fired either way, it sounds like. This could be insubordination.
True.
This could just
he's
be.
Like, he should start.
He should start.
Van Pelt's trying to win the game because he's like, why do I want the number one pick? I'm not going to work with him. I'm not going to be here.
I will not be here. I want to win the game.
Yeah.
He did follow up. And maybe there's more after this, but his follow-up, he was asked if May will play the entirety of the game. He said, we're playing the game to win the game. Yes, that's the intent.
It's a mistake.
Then I'm reading Phil Perry here, some editorializing. He says he did say they'll see how it goes.
Okay.
So perhaps some wiggle room for less than a full complement of snaps.
That'd
but again,
be good.
He said he is starting the game for sure.
Joe Milton.
Well,
let's see Joe Milton.
That was a fun topic that
Bazooka
came up.
Joe Milton did take non-scout team reps at practice yesterday.
No brainer.
Bazooka
if it's
Joe.
Not May, it's Bazooka Joe.
Oh, my God.
No
if I
brainer.
I see Brissett one more time, I would have climbed to the tallest building.
You see this other story that came up while we were out that Jacoby Brissett is apparently still a captain, but he no longer has the C on his jersey.
Yeah, that was so strange. And they asked Mayo about it, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. They're like, so was that just a mistake? Sure. Like, wait. So Brissett had that thing a couple weeks ago, remember, where he's like,
oh, he's a bad teammate. I said this about him almost the entire year.
I think they did, but they don't want to talk about it.
Jacoby Brissett is a bad not only is he not ideal to usher in a young quarterback, he is a bad teammate. I would have taken the C away from him.
You know, as a quick aside, the only guy who might actually be a good backup quarterback teammate? Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see him the other day hyping up Jaden Daniels So before Jaden Daniels won the game, whatever their last game was, they're like during like a timeout, and like Marcus Mariota went over there, like calmed him down and like told him what to do basically, and like got him back out there, and he like threw game winning touchdown. Mariota seems like the one guy that everybody wants every veteran backup quarterback to like.
What? Although, didn't Mariota go AWOL a couple of years ago when he was benched by the Falcons? Didn't he just like leave the team?
Maybe.
Did he? I only remember.
Maybe he learned from that. Maybe he went for like a nice like nature walk, and now he came back, and he's like,
he cleared
my head.
I think.
Maybe he did. I don't remember that.
I just remember it from that Netflix quarterback show.
Oh, he just took a walk?
I think he just legit left the middle of the year.
All right.
But maybe he's learned.
He might have been dealing with stuff we don't know about.
Yeah, it's true, Keith.
You know?
That's true. You never know what people are dealing with. That is true. A few more items here from Van Pelt. This is what Nick was just saying. Joe Milton did. Van Pelt indicated that Joe Milton took starter snaps because Drake May was limited yesterday. So it will not be Brissett.
Good.
If May doesn't go or can't go.
Also, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Alex Van Pelt, when we're talking about this, like, running, not running, QB sneak, not QB sneak, didn't he say keeping Drake May safe is the most important goal?
Something
I
forget like
how he framed it, but even you and I were like, well, isn't, like, playing well and winning more important? Like, this was a month ago. And if protecting him is the most important thing, and you have one game to go, and it greatly benefits your franchise to lose the game, and he just got hurt last game.
Yeah.
And now you're going to play him? Like, how does that make him healthier?
I wouldn't play him, but if you're going to play him, give him a quarter, maybe. I don't even understand the risk in that, but go ahead, or I'm sorry, I don't agree with the risk that would put him out there and get another head injury, blow out his ACL, some sort of catastrophic injury.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid to play him and put him in bubble wrap all year, but with one game to go, whereas you said it greatly benefits you to lose, I'd like to see a lot of Joe Milton out
there. Is there any benefit to just giving him as many like starter reps as possible, or just, you know, you can't, in the offseason, you can't duplicate an NFL season. So is there any point to, I know it's only 1 week, but it's like, hey, you're going to go through this week of practice.
Yeah.
And then you're even going to show up on game day, go through your game day routine,
yeah,
maybe play like a little bit. Like, there's probably better than being like, you're done for the year, like shutting them down. Like, you can do that, but I don't want him playing four quarters.
Yeah, fine. So if you feel like there is benefit in getting him more reps and prepping for a team and going through the whole thing, give him a quarter.
Yeah.
Give him a couple series. Treat it, as you said, like a preseason game. Hell, you can even keep his starting streak intact like Josh Allen wants to do. But, yeah, I do not want him out there if the game hangs in the balance at the end.
It doesn't make any sense.
Speaking of hanging in the balance, Van Pelt was also asked about his job security.
Oh, boy.
He said, quote, "This is the business. We all signed up for it. The thing I can hang my hat on is this team has played hard."
Okay.
No, they haven't. They have not. Last week, I think, was an indication that they are no longer playing. Two of their last three. The Buffalo game in the middle, they actually played hard for a half.
Yeah.
The Arizona game and this Chargers game were embarrassing.
Real quick, those were not guys playing. Yeah, he's gone. Real quick, Phil Perry has spoke briefly about the growth he's made and where he could get better.
Oh, Van Pelt?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
When it comes to improvements, he says he starts with bad calls he's had, and he highlights the fumbled pitch last week. Quote, "That was a tough one. Put those guys in a tough spot." That play was insane. So even the guy, even was it Chris Rose?
Yeah.
Ripped him. He's like,
what is this?
Maybe, like, hang on to that one. Or maybe, like, he had some line where he just, like, torched him.
That was, I already forgot. That was Ross Tucker, too, right?
Oh, maybe it was Ross Tucker.
Ross Tucker, who is going to be on WEI Afternoons. He has not held back on the Patriots. I've actually enjoyed that.
Yep.
Some of the games he's had. You know, it takes being the Patriots and getting some of these games.
Yeah.
But some of the games he's had, he's ripped into the Pats in these
games. They were crushing that play call.
So Van Pelt is continuing to talk. If everything goes according to plan, we not have confirmation on this. If everything goes according to plan, next up in our coordinator series.
Do you think we get him?
Because on Friday they talked to Jeremy Springer, not Jaden Springer.
Both
Jeremy
would have been
Springer
good
gets. On Friday. Yep. Either one would have been a good get.
Yeah.
Next up in the pecking order in our coordinator series is Alex Van Pelt tomorrow. No confirmation from the team we're getting him, but we should get him.
You think we'd get him? Well, yeah, his press conference today. Yeah, we'll get him.
I mean, we should. We should.
I know, but we should have a couple times before we didn't.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, we
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But I don't know what benefit he's going to get from it, but if he does, we'll put him in the hot seat tomorrow. Oh.
Gerard Mayo talking today about laying a foundation. I think it was Tommy Curran asking the question. He followed up with it, too. And Mayo was very brief today. Well, it wasn't today. It was yesterday. But he was brief again. It was one of those quick sort of, all right, I'm just going to answer these quickly in one sentence.
Laugh in the face of an occasional
Mark
reporter.
Daniels, yeah, asking me the same stuff you're always asking me. But he didn't, I don't think he stepped in it quite as much. And he's trying to avoid that by just giving quick sort of terse answers.
Smart.
You know, which is what he should be doing, honestly.
Say less. I mean,
that's a good strategy for him. But with the foundation, they were talking about the foundation and the culture and sort of those things. And that was an opportunity, I thought, for Mayo to talk about the foundation and the culture. And, you know, these guys are really trying. He did say it a little bit there. Yeah, you know, everybody's trying and they're out there doing their best and the effort's there and all that. But there's not to breeze past that one when you don't really have anything else to, and any other accomplishments or any areas of improvement to hang your hat on, any of that stuff. Like, all you really have is the culture. That's all he really has. And I don't even know if he has that.
I don't think he does.
He probably doesn't. But, like, that's at least something you can BS your way into a little. You can't BS the record. The record's 3-14. You suck. Well, it's about to be 3-14, according to Drake.
Drake.
But, you know, you suck. Your team sucks. You're not a good coach, whatever. Are you at least building something foundation-wise? And he's not really even pitching that too hard either.
I didn't like that answer.
Yeah.
I didn't feel any passion, conviction. There was not a lot there. You know what it kind of reminded me of is when we mocked Nick Sirianni, his very first press conference. And he was like, we're going to have smart players.
Yeah.
And they're going to be smart. And then they'll be smart and they'll put that smarts to use as players.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I feel like that what he doesn't have anything to lean on right now.
I know.
And even he brought up, I think on Monday with Wiggy and the other woman here on WEEI in the morning, he brought up, you know, people are trying hard. Well, there was a couple PATs. They didn't really put their hands up to try to block it. But other than that, they were he's even pointing out, like, I don't know if we're all in on this.
Right.
It doesn't feel like they're all pulling in the same direction, rowing the same way. Kind of they're a boat that's spinning in circles because they're a little out of, they need a, what's that guy that tells you how to row?
The coxswain.
What was that?
The coxswain.
Where is it?
That's the guy who sits on the boat.
Oh, where's Stiz? I like to make him uncomfortable and I didn't even get the look.
I know, I didn't get anything.
I like when Stiz, careful. Do you say that on the air or just in my ear?
No, I usually say it on the air.
Oh, okay.
The coxswain is the guy who tells him to stroke.
What?
All right, now you're really treading water. Like, seriously,
no,
guys.
No, we're rowing. We're not treading water. We're rowing.
Everything I just said is very right. Accurate. I don't know
the
what
Charles,
you're talking about.
I can hit the Charles with a baseball from here.
Yeah.
He's talking about the Charles and
the
what goes on there.
Sits in the boat and tells the men to stroke. That's what he does.
Got her.
And
got her.
Or the women.
And
it could
women.
Be the women, too.
Don't
yeah,
be
either
sexist.
One. He either tells the
anybody
men or the women
can row.
To stroke. Generally, the coxswain's like a little guy. Or a little girl.
Oh, is it like a jockey? Like a, you gotta be, oh, yeah, because you're not doing anything.
You're sitting
dead weight.
And you're facing them, and you're like just sitting there. Yeah.
Do they actually do anything?
Yeah.
Are okay. You making fun of the size of the coxswain, Christian?
No, Jesus.
I would never do that. Me, personally, I would never do
that.
I'll pause myself on that one.
Yeah, you should probably pause. Because I was watching the halftime show at the Rose Bowl. Do you believe the guy with the conductor, that he is like a necessity?
Yes.
Really?
I think so.
You
yeah.
Think they'd be a debacle
I think they could
if he
play. I
there.
Think they could probably play the song without it, but I think they look to him to know when
he
to come
keeps
in and
time.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, what?
He keeps the time.
So does my watch.
No, different kind of time.
Do you know
musical
what you're talking
time.
About? Because I know you play the guitar a little bit, and you were an R&B
bit.
Superstar and all that.
A rap superstar. Oh,
sorry.
R&B.
Sorry, rap superstar.
You could, Stiz, you could be an R&B. You could switch up and be an R&B
yeah,
superstar,
maybe.
Too.
Who knows?
So you know, they would be lost. It'd be chaos. If he fell off that little platform, what would happen?
I'm sure they'd be able to keep it together.
Yes.
But he is an integral part of the
I don't buy it.
Band.
I don't buy it. It's like the Patriots offense without Alex Van Pelt. If he fell and was like rolling around on the sideline, wouldn't Drake May just call a play and they'd run it and it would be no different?
No. Probably not.
Oh, I think it would be no
different. All right, back with more after this.
Okay. We go to the calls then. Screw you guys.
By the way, Twitch chat is saying, Andy, you'd make a great coxswain, probably due to your small size. I think that you would. You'd be good sitting on the boat there telling the guys to
is
stroke.
Is that how you spell it?
Yeah, coxswain, I think.
Oh, okay. That's not how it was spelled in the Twitch chat.
No, that's different. Yes, it's
that looks like a dirty word.
It is, yes.
Or an action.
Or a bar that you'd probably...
Oh, that's big in England.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bars that use that play on words.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that so?
Yes.
I was not aware of that.
Anyway.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. Tyler's in Salem. Hi, Tyler.
What's going on, guys? I'm honestly, it's time to move on from Gerard Mayo. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't want Mike Vrabel. Let's go outside the box. And I want to hire Cliff Kingsbury.
He's on my
anytime
list.
Anytime he steps. What's that?
I said he's on my list, Tyler. Go ahead.
Oh, but sorry about that. Anyways, but yeah, anytime he steps into a new role with a quarterback, he did it with Kyler, he did it with Jaden. I mean, imagine what he can do with Drake May. I mean, honestly, clean house, AVP, all those guys, Covington, get out and hire and let him hire his own guys. You know what I mean? Go outside the box for once.
That's what I think, Tyler. I think whoever comes in next should hire their own guys. And I think even if you want to go a step further and bring in a new GM who hires his own coach and then the coach hires his own guy, I'm okay with that too. I'm fine with that. But it has to be somebody who's got a vision. It has to be somebody who doesn't want to just bring their friends in and have it be, you know, the Patriots and all our buddies and all that again. Or, you know, the 13th choice because the guy you hired doesn't have anybody in his Rolodex. I want someone that has, at the very least, offensive experience offensive-minded head coach who's offense first. Kingsbury fits that role. There's a bunch of guys out there who fit that role. I don't know what everybody's Rolodex looks like, but that's a big start. That's a big checkbox for me right there. And after that, I think that there's really no reason. Maybe Van Pelt. I know people are saying, Van Pelt's getting set up to be the fall guy here. If that happens, that sucks. If they get rid of Van Pelt and keep everybody else, keep Mayo, keep Covington, that sucks. That's a stupid, sucky thing to do. But if the guy who comes in says, sorry, Van Pelt, you know, you did a good job here, but I have this guy I want for my offensive coordinator, I have this guy I want for my QB coach, and there's just no room for you, then sorry, Alex, you know, hopefully you catch on somewhere else. If they want to keep Van Pelt because he's got some experience with Drake May, then that's fine too. All that's fine. But whoever comes in next, it should be their choice. And they should be the one who builds the thing up and does it, and they should do it without the Crafts looking over their shoulder and meddling through each part of it, which is, I think, a big part of the reason why they like Jerod Mayo, because they know they can control him, and they know it's this thing, this agreement that they have and all of that, you know, that they set up years ago. And I just think that that's not a way to do business in the NFL these days. It's just not, unless you want to be hands-on on everything, and I don't think they do. And they shouldn't, because I don't really see what the point of that is. They're not football people. Like, it's just let the football people do their job, bring in people that you believe in, do interviews, and whoever impresses you the most, hire them and let them take over.
So I have a developing take on Alex Van Pelt that I put on Twitter.
I think it is, yeah.
And it didn't get lambasted quite as much as I expected on Twitter, so I'm bringing it to the damn airwaves.
Okay.
So I've previously said I thought it would be smart and interesting possibility to retain Alex Van Pelt as the quarterback's coach because he's Drake May's guy. You and I have talked a lot about when we ask him about Alex Van Pelt, there's a very passionate, believable, genuine defense of Alex Van Pelt from the quarterback. So you might want to keep them together. Maybe I was thinking the wrong direction for Alex Van Pelt.
Oh.
Not a demotion, but a promotion. Because in the last couple days, you know who has sounded most like a head coach for the New England Patriots?
Alex
Van Pelt. Mm-hmm. So you get rid of Jerod Mayo, you promote Alex Van Pelt to head coach, where he's the CEO. He oversees everything. He's the spokesman. He's Drake May's guy. But he brings in a play caller and offensive coordinator. I don't keep him as the play caller because there's too much for him to do as the head coach.
Right.
He becomes the head coach. Brings in an offensive mind. He's probably got some other guys that he likes or could run the system, whatever, make the system better.
Sure, you can bring in Stefanski.
Bring in Stefanski as the OC. You're thinking my side of the street, baby. AVP as the head coach of the New England Patriots.
Well, I mean, he did run the worst offense in the league this year, so naturally you should get a promotion, I'd say.
Absolutely. Your guy did it once.
What guy?
Cliff Kingsbury got fired in college and took a head coaching job in the NFL. He was fired upward.
He did.
Also wanted to ask you a question. AVP aside, I don't think that's actually going to happen. I can't imagine that Robert Kraft is going to fire Jerod Mayo
and make Alex Van Pelt the head coach. You don't think that's going to happen?
Seems unbelievable. You keep bringing up Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't Cliff Kingsbury's quarterbacks been Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels? Like,
yeah.
Is he good or are they good?
I don't think Kyler Murray's that good.
He's got a $200 million contract, and people tell me he's an MVP candidate at various times throughout the year.
Who said he was an MVP candidate this year?
Oh, various times throughout the year. There was a short stretch there where they were saying he was playing as well as anybody.
All right, well,
in football.
I never called him that, and I don't think that he's that good.
I just don't know how good Cliff Kingsbury is.
I think Drake May is good, and I think that Kingsbury's good with good quarterbacks. And so you bring him in there, you give him a good quarterback, and I think you can get something out of that.
Never won anything with Patrick Mahomes in college.
True. He didn't.
Didn't maximize him at all. Andy Reid maximized him.
Texas Tech?
Yeah, Texas Tech.
I mean, what are they winning, honestly?
When you have the greatest quarterback that's ever walked the planet?
What'd Tom Brady win in college?
The Orange Bowl.
Okay. So, I mean,
he did.
Big deal. He won the Orange Bowl 1 year.
It mattered back then.
It sort of did, fine, but I just don't think that that's a great way to, it's not a great litmus test. He did very well this year with a good rookie quarterback in Washington, and I think that he's someone that has built up a reputation as good with these quarterbacks. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the quarterbacks are good, and it has nothing to do with him. I don't think so. I think that he has a good influence and a good ability to get a lot out of these guys. And I think that that's just something that, and who knows, you know, maybe Mahomes doesn't develop the same way if he had a different coach in college. That could be part of it too.